Excellent. Thank you, ladies. If you would, you can take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter number 2 for the scripture reading. Philippians chapter number 2. And while you're finding your place there, I just want to echo what's already been said, but everything that was done tonight was well done. It was excellent. And I'll tell you, Pastor said he was doing a cartwheel, and I was too in my heart, but I also was sitting thinking, sometimes if you're not careful, if you look at this world and you watch the news and you listen to people, you think that there's absolutely no hope and that we're just doomed. And I'll just tell you, as I was sitting here watching those children up here quoting those verses and singing those songs, and just as the service has progressed, I was sitting here thinking, there's hope.
Amen.
There's hope.
Amen.
Don't believe the lie of the devil that wants to tell us that this world is doomed and America has no hope. As long as we've got breath in our bodies, and as long as there's a God in heaven, and as long as we've got his word, there's hope. And so it really done something for me tonight to know that we have a hope that's steadfast and sure.
Right.
And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so
Amen.
I want to share something with you tonight. I promise you, I will not be long. I realize the time, and I'm going to keep that in mind, and so I'm going to be very quick with what I say. There's so much I'd like to say right now, but I'm going to skip that because I want to get straight in to the message tonight. I'm going to look at Philippians chapter number 2, and then we're going to turn to another book, and then we'll stay right there. But Philippians chapter number 2, you're going to think this is kind of a weird way to start this message, because I'm going to kind of preach it in reverse, which is something that we don't do very often, but I hope you understand why as I get further into the message. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." And let's pray. Father, how I need your help tonight. God, you know my heart and you know what is in it. And God, I pray that you would help me. And God, I pray that you would use me tonight to speak to these people. Please do what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about a character tonight that, you know, many times gets overlooked in the Bible. His name's one that we all know and we all recognize, but I wonder if we realize what kind of man he really was. His name is Timothy. As I read it in Philippians chapter number 2, Paul called him Timotheus. There's other places where Paul calls him Timothy, but no doubt it's the same person. And as we look at this man, Timothy, I want to kind of take a reverse approach to his life. I'm kind of starting near the end of his life, and then we're going to work our way back to the beginning of his life. And we're going to do it really quickly. But I wanted to start with the end because I think it'll apply to some things that we've seen done here tonight. The first thing I want to look at about Timothy's life is this, that he had a great future. Or you could say he had a great finish. But since we're talking about education tonight, and since we're emphasizing our youth tonight, I'm going to say Timothy had a great future. And as I look at these young people that were up here tonight, as I look at these children, I see a group of children that could have a great future.
Amen.
And so I want to look at Timothy, and I want us to see how I come to that conclusion. Paul is writing here in the book of Philippians to a church in Philippi, and he makes some statements about this man Timothy that are pretty remarkable. As a parent, I hope that I can raise my children in a way that these things could be said about them. And so I just want to emphasize some of the things that the great apostle Paul said about this young man, Timothy. Most of us, if we've been in church any time in our life, even just a little bit, we've heard of the apostle Paul. We know who Paul is, that great apostle, probably outside of the Lord Jesus, the greatest Christian to ever live. He's responsible by the Holy Spirit for writing over half of the New Testament, the great apostle Paul. And Paul said some statements about Timothy that really, when you think about them, make you say, wow. You may have read over them many times, but never really thought about them. And I want you to think about some things that Paul said about Timothy here in Philippians chapter number 2. In Philippians chapter number 2, Paul said some things about Timothy. I want you to see the first thing he said in verse number 20. He said this. He said, I have no man like-minded. What a statement. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, for Paul to say that there is no man that is like-minded as me, as Timothy, what a statement. I mean, Paul had the mind of Christ. Paul was the one that said in this same book, in the book of Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was that one that said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's all said here in the book of Philippians. And after Paul makes all those statements and many others here in the book of Philippians, he goes on to say about Timothy, he says, I have no man that is as like-minded as Timothy is with me. And so he says, Timothy is like-minded. He said, look at what he says in verse number 20. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. He says Timothy is a man that is not just like-minded. Not only does he care about people, he says, and he's close to Paul. He says, but this man Timothy, he said, this man Timothy he's concerned about Jesus Christ. He's not concerned about himself. He's concerned about Christ. And so the first thing I see about this man Timothy is he was spiritual. You see, there's a lot of Christians that they're Christians, but they're not spiritual. They're carnal. Paul talks about that in Corinthians. He says there's the natural man, and there's the carnal man, and there's the spiritual man. The natural man is lost. That you can be a carnal man and be saved, and then you can be a spiritual man and be saved. And Paul says Timothy is a spiritual man. Timothy's not just a saved man. Though he's a saved man, he's a spiritual man. He's just like the Apostle Paul. He's seeking not his own things, but he's seeking Christ. He's putting first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Timothy's living for God. And so Paul says Timothy is a spiritual man. What a testimony. Number two, not only that, he says Timothy is a selfless man. You could say a sacrificial man. Look at verse number 21. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ. Paul says this about Timothy. He says, Timothy's not like everybody else. He's selfless. You know, in this world, if we're honest, and I'm going to say even about myself, if I'm honest, a lot of times I'm really selfish. And if we're all honest, we can be some selfish people. But Paul said about Timothy, he said, this man Timothy, he's not like everybody else. He's not living for himself. He's living for others. He's living for Christ. He's got a selfless mind. He's a sacrificial man. He says he's spiritual. He's selfless. He's sacrificial. His life did not revolve around himself. He wasn't living for himself. Not only that, he was submissive. Look at verse number 22. He says, but you know the proof of him. That as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. You say, where do you see that he's submissive? As a son with the father. The Bible's very clear what a son is supposed to be to his father, and that is submissive. I know that's not popular in our society today, but in Bible days and in the Word of God, even today, a son is to be submissive to his father, to the authority that God has placed in his life. And so Timothy was a submissive. He said, you know the proof of Timothy. He is one that he served with me as a son to the father. Paul said, Timothy's been submissive to me. What I asked Timothy to do, he done it. If I told Timothy to go, he went. If I told Timothy to help, he helped. If I asked Timothy to do something, he done it. And so Timothy was a spiritual man. He was a selfless, a sacrificial man. He was a submissive man. He knew what it was to follow a leader. I'm going somewhere with this. Not only that, was he a submissive man, but he was a serving man. Look at verse number 22 again. He said, you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Paul said, Timothy is a servant. He knows what it is to work hard. You can't serve without working hard. That's right. And Timothy knew what it was to work hard. Paul said, Timothy, you know the proof of him. You know that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. He said, Timothy is a servant. And can I say, I'm going to add one here that I can't show you from the scripture. Well, I believe that I can. But not only was Timothy a spiritual man and a selfless man and a sacrificial man and a submissive man and a serving man, but can I tell you, I believe with all of my heart, Timothy was a successful man. He was a successful man. You see, our world has got a real mixed up view of what success is. And tonight is education night at Fellowship Baptist Church, and we're emphasizing education. Whether you educate your children through Fellowship Baptist Academy, whether you educate your children in your home through a homeschool program, or whether you educate your children through the public school system, no matter how you educate your children, I want to tell you that the world has what they call success, and the Bible has what it calls success. And in the Bible, Timothy was a successful man. Because he understood what it was to live for God. He understood what it was to serve God. He understood what it was to serve others, to be selfless, to be sacrificial, to be submissive. Can I tell you, if we would teach our children, if I would teach my children, if you would teach your children, if FBA and We Care Academy would teach these children to what it is to be spiritual, what it is to be selfless and sacrificial, to be submissive to the authorities that God places in their life, whether it be a parent, whether it be a policeman, whether it be a foreman, and at the workplace, if they would learn what it is to submit, if they would learn what it is to serve and to work hard and to labor and not run from work and hide from work, but approach work with that kind of a mind, can I tell you, they will be successful. Amen. And that's what we want for our children. Whether they're a part of FBA or whether they're a part of Madison County Public School or Rappahannock or Orange or Green or whether they're homeschooled, no matter what school they go to, no matter how they're being educated, our desire for our children is for them to be successful. Amen. And if they want to be successful, I believe they need to be all these things that Timothy was. You say, so how did Timothy get there? How can you have that kind of success? That's a great question. I want to show you what I believe led to the success of this man, Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. And I'll give you a couple points and I'm going to be done. Say, how did Timothy become successful? Can we all agree that if somebody will have these traits in their life, they'll be successful?
Amen.
They're missing in our society today. If a person goes to work every day with a submissive mind and with a servant's heart and with a selfless attitude and willing to sacrifice, can I tell you, I don't care where they work and what profession they're in or whether they're just whatever trade or whatever way the Lord leads them, can I tell you, if they will have these qualities in their life, they will be successful. And so how do we get these? Well, I'll give you a couple things I think the Bible says that made Timothy the man that he was. Number one, he had a good family. Timothy had a good family. I want to make this statement so that you'll not get mixed up. I didn't say a perfect family. I don't have time to take you to Acts chapter 16. But if we were to go to Acts chapter 16 verse 1 and 2, you know what we would find? That Timothy's dad was not a believer. Possibly Timothy's dad was not even around. Acts chapter 16, you read it when you get home. The Bible says that Timothy was the son of a Greek, and his mother and his grandmother, they were Jewish, and they were believers in God, and they followed God, but it says that his father was a Greek, and kind of emphasizes that he's not a believer. Possibly he's not around. Whether he died or whether he had left the home or whatever it may be, Timothy's dad was not around. And so I'm not talking about a perfect family. Because if it took a perfect family to raise successful people, nobody would be successful. Because none of us have a perfect family. But what Timothy did have was a good family. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. Paul said this. He said, he's writing to Timothy. Let me say that. He's writing a letter to Timothy. Paul's getting ready to die. If you read 2 Timothy, what you will find is the apostle Paul is getting ready to pass off the scene. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Paul said, I'm leaving, but before I leave, I want to write a letter to my protege. I want to write a letter to that one that's like-minded to me, my son in the faith. And this is what he said in verse number 5. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which, listen, dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. I want to ask you this question tonight. How many of you here are a parent? Or a grandparent? How many of you are a parent or, wow, a parent or a grandparent? You can put your hands down. That is like 80% of the congregation, and I'm going to say the other 15% is children. And I understand in a crowd this size, there's some that maybe were not able or did not choose to have children. But you know what? I'd say even those have some children like Paul. Paul didn't have any children of his own because Paul wasn't married. But Paul said, Timothy's my son. And so whether you have any biological children or not, no doubt you've got some people in your life that you would say, that's my child. Evidently, Charlie's got about 20 parents. Because I walked through here before the service and I was like, who are you here to see? And then Charlie. I was like, Charlie's got a lot of parents or grandparents or a family, a big family, right? I don't know, but there was a lot of people here with Charlie, right? And so I'm just saying, hey, it doesn't matter what your role is, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're an aunt, whether you're an uncle, whether you're a family friend that cares about that young child like they're your own. Can I tell you, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to raise a Timothy, to have a child that's going to have a great future, have a great finish. It takes a good family. That's why I'm convinced tonight that our families are under attack. That's why the family's under attack in our society today, because the devil knows that our country and our churches are only as good as the families that make them up. And therefore, the devil's doing everything he can to destroy the family, to destroy the home, to divide mom and dad, and to divide the home, because it's the hope of the children. And it takes a good family, not a perfect family, but a good family. And I believe that Timothy had a good family. Look in chapter number 3. Look at verse number 14. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, well, verse 13, he said, evil men shall and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you read the context of chapter 3, he's talking about the last days and perilous times. And if you read that list, they're very similar to the days in which we're living. And in verse number 14, he says to Timothy, I know the days are dark and I know the world is wicked. He said, but I want to give you some encouragement. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And look at what he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I believe that Timothy, Paul is talking about himself in some sense, but I don't believe he's just talking about himself. He's talking about his mother and his grandmother who taught him. Why do you say that? Well, look at verse 15. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, from a little child, Timothy's mom and his grandma had been teaching him the scriptures. They had been taking him to the temple. They had been teaching him about the God of the Jewish people. And so Timothy had a good family. He had a good family. And they had a great example. They were the real deal. Chapter number 1 said, he said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded that is in thee also. He said they had an unfeigned faith. You know what that means? That means it was not fake. Paul said, Timothy, I know your grandmother and I know your mother, and they are the real deal. I've been the youth pastor here at Fellowship Baptist Church going on, I think, about 15 years. Can I tell you one thing that I've learned in these 15 years of being in youth ministry at Fellowship Baptist Church? The family's very important. We might be able to fool each other when we walk in these doors and smile and shake each other's hands and say amen and lift our hands to heaven and talk about God. But can I tell you what really matters is what we do when we walk outside of these doors. When we get in that vehicle, when we ride down that road, when we're sitting in our living room, the way that we talk to one another, the way that we live our lives, the way that we go about our life is what matters. And Paul said, Timothy, your mother and your grandmother were the real deal. He had a good family, their example. Not only that, look at the example, look at the education. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You see the emphasis on learning? He said, you've learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And look at what he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You want to know why these children were quoting verses tonight? Maybe you came here tonight as a visitor and you say, why do they have those kids memorizing those verses and quoting those scriptures? I'll tell you why. Because of this verse right here and many others. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And listen to this. It's profitable. It's profitable. Those scriptures that those children quoted tonight are profitable. They're profitable. It's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's the education. That's why here at FBA, here at Fellowship Baptist Academy, that the education that we have here, they will teach you science and they will teach you math. You notice I'm saying they, okay? You don't want me teaching science and you don't want me teaching math. And if you stick around long enough, you sure will say, I don't want him teaching my child English. But I'm telling you right now, hey, we will teach them. No, not we. They will teach them English. They will teach them math. They will teach them science. They will teach them all kinds of other stuff that I can't teach them. But I'll tell you more than anything, what they're going to teach them is the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures that's going to make them perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As Pastor Brandon already said, the Word of God can get to the heart. And out of the abundance of the heart are the issues of life. If we can get their heart, we'll get their head. And that's why there's such an emphasis on the Word of God. And Timothy, as a child, was given those scriptures. I personally don't believe that Timothy got saved necessarily as a child. I believe Timothy got saved somewhere in the book of Acts when Paul came and preached in Lystra and in Derbe and that area where Timothy was from. I believe Timothy got saved because Paul emphasizes that possibly he led Timothy to the Lord. It was his son in the faith. So it may not be that Timothy got saved when he was a child, but he got seeds planted when he was a child. And can I tell you, the Bible says that the Word of God will not return void. That seed that's been planted in that little child's heart from the 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 year olds that stood up and quoted those scriptures tonight, can I tell you, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's getting down where nothing else can get, and that seed is getting planted, and by the grace of God, hopefully it'll get watered, and one day there will bring forth fruit in their life. Because of the Word of God. That's how Timothy was educated. Can I tell you, that's how this country used to be educated. Many people, many in our beginning days, some of the greatest colleges and institutions of learning in our country used this Bible as their handbook. I wish we'd get back to that. We are here at FBA. And so the example, the education, I'm almost done. The environment. I already mentioned Acts chapter 14 and 16. If you read through it sometime, Acts chapter 14, Paul came to a place called Lystra and Derbe. And the Bible says that Paul was stoned and he was left for dead outside of the city of Lystra. And then Paul left and he came back sometime later in Acts chapter number 16. And when he came back in Acts chapter number 16, there was a young man there. They said Timothy. And it talks about his mother and his grandmother and his father. And it says that Timothy was someone that had proved to be a servant of God, and the people said, Paul, I think Timothy would be a good one to go with you on your missionary journey. And so Paul took Timothy with him on his missionary journey. You see, what that tells me is that Timothy grew up in a good environment where God was put first. Timothy had, look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse number, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse number 10. Paul said this about Timothy. He said, Timothy, but thou, he's talking to Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, peace, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what Paul was saying? He's saying, Timothy, you know what I'm talking about. How'd Timothy know? He saw it. He saw it. He was there. He was being raised in an environment where he could see God moving. You know, I want my children to grow up in an environment where they can see God move. I want my children to grow up in an environment where they're seeing people get saved. I want my children to grow up in an environment where they're seeing people do as we heard tonight. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing in the face of adversity and saying, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not bow. Our God is able if he chooses to deliver us, and if he don't, we're still not going to bow. I want my children to grow up in that kind of environment. That's the kind of environment Timothy grew up in. You see, he had a good family. And then last, he had this. He had a genuine faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 5 again. This is my last point. I'm done. He said, when I call to remembrance, Paul talking to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And listen to this. Paul said, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know what Paul said? He said, Timothy, you're the real deal. You have a genuine faith. You have a good family. I know your mother. I know your grandmother. But can I tell you, a good family won't do it. As I look over here tonight, and I'm not just saying this because you're our visitors, the fact that you've come in support of your child that comes to this academy, and many of you came in support of your family member, you know what that tells me? You love that child. And I would consider you a good family member. But can I tell you, that's not enough. I'm speaking to a group of people here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I think you're a good family. But that's not enough. My children, I believe, are coming from a good family. I hope. We try. But that's not enough. They got to have a genuine faith. It's got to be real. The Bible says this, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul said, Timothy, I know you got the goods. You're not fake. You're real. You've got the same faith that your mother and your grandmother have. And I'm persuaded it's in you. And I tell you how these children in this building tonight, whether they're a part of our We Care, our academy, or whether they're a part of our church family, I think two of the most important things of them being successful is this, that they have a good family and they have a genuine faith. I think about Matthew chapter number 7. I won't turn there. I'm going to close my Bible. Matthew chapter 7. I'm preaching every Sunday night of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to get there eventually. But in Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus talks about two ways, two trees, he's comparing these two types of people, two foundations. And he says, there shall be many that say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not do many wonderful works in thy name? And he said, and I will say unto them, I never knew you. You know what he's saying? Your faith wasn't real. Young people, you've done a great job tonight. I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I sit back with tears in my eye and lump in my throat as you were quoting those scriptures and singing those songs. I mean, this is my Father's world about got me. I don't know about you, but that about done me in. But can I tell you, you can quote all the scripture in the Bible. You can sing every song. But at the end of the day, what's really going to matter, is it real? Is it real? Is your faith real? I'm speaking to visitors tonight and to church members as well. I believe with all my heart that more than alcohol, more than drugs, more than the things of this world are going to take people to hell, religions going to be at the top of the list. A lot of people, religious, but lost. Is your faith real? If the Lord were to come tonight, if you were to stand before him as we heard those girls sing, it's going to happen one day. For we all, Philippians, that book I was in, says for we all must stand before the judge seat of Christ. Well, that's in Corinthians. But in Philippians, he said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day we're going to stand before him. And you know what's going to matter when we stand there? Was it real? Was our faith real? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask you to stand to your feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. That's the message the Lord laid on my heart. Thank you so much for paying attention. I was a little longer than I wanted, but I believe with all of my heart this is what the Lord wanted me to preach. Timothy had a great future.